Father, thank you so much for the anointing on your word. Thank you so much for the things you do to impress us. Lord, we're preparing to be impressed. There's so many things you've done already this year that have impressed us. But God, you said, prepare to be impressed. And I believe that that is something that we need to take hold of. Verse 20, and he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Verse 21, when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. Behold, there come one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. When he saw him, he fell at his feet, besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. Jesus went with him, and much people followed him, and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, had suffered many things, underline many if you have a pen or a pencil, many things of many physicians, underline many. There's too many's there. That means there's too much, too many. All right? Did you get that? How much? Yeah, very good. Hallelujah. And she had spent all that she had. Pretty important. If you spend all you have, you don't have anything left. Too many doctors, too many physicians, too many things, and no money. And nothing better, but things are getting what? Worse. When she had heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. I don't know where she got that, but she said in herself, I'm going to do this. I'm going to get this done, and I'm going to be well. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the plague. Jesus, immediately knowing that in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? Now remember, Jesus was going somewhere else. So he's going to help Jairus because his daughter's at the point of death. Somebody touched Jesus and Jesus stopped, even though the other one was an emergency. I know people's nature. I know the character of people after 35 years of ministry. You know how people react. And it doesn't matter if it's Jesus either. Amen. Somebody said, well, that's not true, Pastor. Everybody's nice around Jesus. Well, ask his disciples. They started arguing about who's going to be get the best seat. And they're just getting mad at Jesus. Remember when Mary and Martha were hosting Jesus at her house? And Martha went to Jesus and started getting mad at Jesus? You tell Mary to come and help me. Would you imagine walking up to Jesus and telling him what to do? Well, you get in the kitchen, man. Anything can happen. You better watch out. That kitchen's a sacred place. Don't mess with the lady's kitchen. You tell her to help me. And Jesus had to correct her. But he loved her, and he didn't throw her away, did he? He said, hey, Mary's chosen the better portion. In other words, word to the wise. And what she chose will never be taken away from her. You know, You may be able to do, hamburger helper. But I tell you what, this is the real helper right here. So thank you, Jesus. Your hamburger helper will pass away. But the help of the Holy Ghost will be forever. So people can get rude to Jesus. But he stopped, and he stopped going to help Jairus, at least momentarily. And he said, hey, something's happened inside me, and somebody made a demand upon my power. And the disciple said unto him, seest thou the multitude thronging thee, and thou sayest, who touched me? In other words, Jesus, how are we going to find her? There's too many people here. He looked about to see her that had done this thing, but the woman, fearing and trembling, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And Jesus said unto her, Daughter, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace. Be whole of thy plague. We were talking this morning, and we've been talking about redemption. You'll either be believing things in your mind, imaginations, things that you are impressed with, and we called them, as I got this, I just got this in my sleep, grim faithless tales, instead of Grimm's fairy tales, grim faithless tales. And they will be grim, all right, and they will be faithless, and they will be tales, but they will be imaginations in your heart that you'll want to entertain, because those tales seem real to you. Because of past experience, you can only imagine this. Oh, if it's me, it'll surely happen. Anything good happens, it gets taken away within 2 days. And we have all these sayings that we have. And there it goes, just like I knew it would. And anything nice happens, something's followed up with something bad. And we learn to really speak of those things like they're gospel, like they're unbreakable, like they are the final word in our life. And so those are grim, faithless tales that pop up in our head. But God wants us to be thinking of towering triumphs of redemption. We talked about Psalm 144, verse 2, that the Lord is a strong tower. He's our high tower. Amen. He is our high tower. In 2 Corinthians 2:14, he said, Now thanks be to God who leads us into triumph and makes manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. The Lord has done something for you through the cross. The Lord has done something in you by the Holy Spirit and his word. Now the Lord wants to do something through you. And he wants to make such an impression on your life that you're not talking about what used to happen anymore. You're talking about now what's happening. Amen. You're not talking about your old father. You're talking about your new father. Now, your old father might have been a great guy, but there's a lot of things. Every bad trait we get, well, my dad was like that, and I'm like my dad, you know. And we blame everything on our ancestry. Well, praise God. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And if you hang around your heavenly father, you will get things from him. And they will rub off on you, as it were, and you will be transformed. The Bible said, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Well, if you're renewed in the spirit of your mind, you say, hey, I got something from the Lord. Amen. What did you get? Well, this is what I got. The Lord is my high tower. Praise the Lord. And that's good. And you can dwell on that and praise God for that. And pretty soon you start talking about God being your high tower, your place of safety and refuge above the storms, in the eye of the storm. These are things we begin to talk, we begin to live out, and we begin to live the redemption that we already have in Christ. See, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Not he's going to be, not one day when, you know, you pray enough and karma comes back in a good way to you. You know, that's not how it works. It's a gift. Salvation is a gift, yes? And it's a free gift of what? Anybody know? A free gift of love. It's a free gift of righteousness. And righteousness is a very powerful word because righteousness puts us in right standing with God. You don't have to pray to get in right standing with God. You don't have to give something to your neighbor to get in right standing with God. You cannot do anything. In fact, most of what you do gets you out of righteousness. What do? You receive it. As many as receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life through one Jesus Christ. What keeps people from reigning in life is knowing that they're righteous in Christ. Amen. I could have got more amens out of that one. It's a lack of knowledge concerning righteousness that defeats people. Because we're trying to earn God's favor. And I'm not going to be real critical on this, but half the songs we sing are about someday somehow getting righteous. I'm not saying here we sing those, but I'm just saying if you think about it, some songs are, you know, Yeah, you gotta get it solidified in your thinking that what you have is something you have now. And I'll prove it to you. Read any of the New Testament books to the church, and they're all talking about being in Christ. He said that we would come to know the height, the length, the depth, and the breadth. That's every way. That's going up, that's down, that's that way, it's that way, it's going to every dimension you can think of. He said, God, I'm going to pray that you open the eyes of your church, that they would come to know the height, the length, the depth, the breadth, be filled with all the fullness of God. What is that? The height, the length, and depth, the breadth of his love, right? And so this is something that we need to see. This is not something God's hiding from us. Oh, one day it'll all make sense. Well, it better make sense now. Amen. Now, there's some things that are hidden from us. You know, you're not supposed to know everything about everything. But God gives us enough light to walk in that we can believe him, trust him, and know where we're going. We may not know how every little detail about it. Amen. That's where we got to trust him. But we know what God said is true. It will happen. He's going to lead me into 2 Corinthians 2:14. He's going to lead me into all truth. That's good, true. What am I looking for, though? Triumph. He's going to lead me into triumph. That's okay. I'm going all a lot of different scriptures. You're all doing very good. All right? He's going to lead me into triumph. I know one thing, that when this is all said and done, I win. Amen. I got the bat and ball. My father is the pitcher. Jesus is the catcher. And that's just the way it is. It's fixed. Jesus fixed it for me. He fixed what I couldn't fix. Now somebody said, well, what's that got to do with this lady in Mark chapter 5? Well, I'm glad you asked that question. Let's go back there. You thought I forgot about her, didn't you? She said, if I may touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. If I touch but his clothes, verse 28, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. Now here's a woman that had suffered. We all like to talk about how we suffered. She suffered what? So if she was on a talk show, she could fill up the whole hour. There's no question about that. Yeah, I mean, she could just take up that whole hour. She suffered, first of all, she suffered many things. And then she suffered of them many physicians. So she'd been to doctor after doctor. And you may have been to lawyer after lawyer. You may have been to this after that. And so we got many. And anytime there's many, we have a tendency, physicians, we have a tendency to exaggerate, don't we? I mean, not you guys, but before you got saved, didn't you maybe have a tendency to exaggerate? Amen. So she probably talked about even more problems than there were. But hey, we might as well pile on, because I'm telling my story right now. I get a few moments to tell my story. Many things, many physicians. And she spent all she had. Now she's broke. Trying to fix her problem. And her problem is not a washer. It's her body. It's one thing to have things wrong. It's another thing to have your body wrong. Because that can hinder you from fixing the things. Amen. Like one person said, you know, when you're 20 and somebody says, well, you know, when you got your health, you got everything. You go, yeah, whatever. I guess so. I got to go somewhere. What's people talking like that for? Then you get a little older and you go, you know, you got your health, you got everything. Because it's true. Praise the Lord. Because especially if you've been to many physicians and you're broke. If all you got is your health, yeah, I can start all over. I don't care if I'm 92. I can go out and pick up tin cans. I can do something. Amen. But if you don't have your health, you have to stay in a bed. And that limits you sorely. Anyway, but she said, Now, how many years did this go on for there? 12 years. It says 12. That's still a long time. 18, 20, 12. I mean, it's more than 6 months to me. That's an awful long time. Are you kidding me? I mean, a whole week would drive me to praying real hard. But here's the point I want you to get. You know, we all hit certain things. Things hit us. And they seem to become a part of our life. That's the whole point I want to drive out. It starts becoming a part of who you are, what you're identifying with. Oh, there's the woman with the issue of blood. There's the woman who's broke. Pretty soon you start thinking broke, talking broke, acting broke. You start thinking sick, acting sick. Why? Because you've been sick 12 years, dear Lord. I can't say anything bad about this woman. I've never been in her position quite that bad. I've known people that have. And we're going to preach the answer here in just a second. But here's the thing. When she heard of Jesus, that's the whole point. When she heard of Jesus, she heard something she hadn't heard before. And I'm praying that you will hear something you have not heard before. So I've heard it all. Well, that's your problem. There's people, you shake their hand, and 1 hour later, you're through, listening. Whew. I don't know why I'm tired, but I got to go home. You deal with public, you deal with customers, and it's amazing how some people just, woo! You know, I tell people at work, if I'm with somebody too long, just say, Ed, come to the office, as emergency. Thank you. You got to look for a way out sometimes. I'm being I'm just being silly. But the fact is, sometimes we, you know, God gave us 2 ears and 1 mouth. So we're supposed to do more listening than we should do talking. Because, you know, you can learn something from anybody. You really can. Because, you know, you really can. So be careful not to be in a learning mode. But anyway, here she is. She's got this situation, and she's got a grim, faithless tale. There's no faith in this at all. Nothing of faith hit her heart until she heard of Jesus. That was different. Now, I'll give you a real picture of my mom. My mom was, you know, they've been married 18 years. She was Mrs. Barbara Gutfeld, and they divorced after 18 years, had 8 kids, a house full of kids. She, you know, my dad, and they divorced. One afternoon, he came home, got his stuff, and left. And he's a good dad. I love my dad, and he's in heaven now. But the point is this, you start identifying with that. My dad left me. My dad left me. My dad left me. My dad left me. How many times have you thought of that? Oh, 1,000 million seems like. That's an exaggeration, but many things, many positions. Might as well have been 1,000 million. But see, you see what I'm talking about? You start identifying with that. And my mom kind of went into a situation where we always went to church. Dear Lord, always. There wasn't a Sunday in the world. I mean in the world that we did not go to church. You could have had a flood, flash flood. You know, some people, if it rains, my car might not make it to work. I'll make it to work, but I won't make it to church. God will kill me on the way to church, so I better stay home. But not us. If there was a blizzard, my mom would open the door of the church. She'd figure out a way to be the first one there. If we went on vacation, she made sure we went to church. Yeah, you know, just no way about it. But here's the point. She spent all she had. We were nothing better. We rather grew worse. We talked to every preacher there was in our Catholic church, and we were just a mess. And one day, a guy invited her to go hear David Wilkerson at work. You're going to say, well, she's a Catholic. She already knows the Lord. Yes, she did. She knows the Lord. She loves Jesus, loves her Bible, never reads it. half the songs we sang were full of unbelief. And so, you know, but you do the best you can. At least you're not a heathen. We're going to go to heaven. I believe that. But while we're here, we're struggling. So she went there and she came home. She heard something she had never heard before. She had been in church every Sunday of her life. I'm not kidding you. We've all been baptized, confirmation, I mean first communion, I mean stripes on our shoulder. It doesn't matter what it is. We all did what we're supposed to do in the front row of church all the time. My mom heard something, and I saw something inside of her. And I thought, man, she is weird. I thought she was weird before. And she started, you know, we never talked about this, but she started drinking a lot at night. And it was wine. She got this big old, the bottle of wine was bigger than the milk bottle. That's when you know you're in trouble. You got 8 kids and the bottle of wine's bigger than the milk bottle. You know, praise the Lord. That's trouble. But you know, she's just getting depressed. But when she went to this meeting, something sparked in her. She had to go find something. And something came alive in her, and she went looking for a prayer group. Well, that's where Sherry was at, this prayer group in Hayward. And my mom ended up there because the guy would give her communion, even though she was divorced. You know, in the Catholic Church, if you do that, you don't get communion. Well, the priest there said he would. But she went to this little prayer group, and of course Sherry was there, so you know something good's going on there. If Sherry's there, it's got to be good. So she got to part of this prayer group, and the guy said, well, let's have a prayer meeting at your house. That sounds like a good harvest field. So that's how it got to our house. But the thing I'm saying is this, my mom just wouldn't stop seeking. She wouldn't stop searching. She wouldn't stop. And she was doing things I never seen her do before. She started saying, praise the Lord. I'm telling you something. Nothing was better. Everything grew worse. And yet she just kept going. She just kept going. She just kept going. On the inside, God did some things to her that became so real to her that she started talking different. She started acting different. I didn't see her drink no more wine. I didn't see her getting depressed. She started watching Pat Robertson on TV, 700 Club. And she signed up to be one of their counselors, you know. And I'm thinking, every time I come home, she's watching 700 Club. And she's worshiping the Lord. She says, and then she gets the phone. She says, praise the Lord, Gutfeld's. And I said, Mom, quit preaching to my friends. Every time you pick up the praise the Lord, they don't want to hear that, Mom. Quit preaching to all the... See, when you're not in the light, all you got to do is say praise the Lord. People think you're preaching. Yes. That's preaching. Oh, you haven't heard me preach. You thought that was the preaching? That was the introduction. That was saying hello. That's all that was. Give me a couple hours. I'll get to preaching. But you see, just like this woman with the issue of blood, she could have identified with being, you know, a single mom. She could identify with, we were on welfare at the time. We could have identified with that. She could have identified with, you know, nobody loves me and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But she didn't do that. She heard something different. And I'm telling you, not one circumstance changed. It was in the middle of chaos. It was in the middle of that tornado that Nikki was talking about. Suddenly the wind of God came into her life and it started blowing stuff away. And she started remembering as a little girl why she loved the Lord and what she wanted to do and all that sort of thing. And well, you know, if you serve God, your kids will serve God. They will serve God. They will serve God. But I'll say this about my mom, and I have to give her all the kudos in the world. She never started preaching at me. She just said, hey, you want to come to a meeting? I'll do the dishes for you. And all these little things. She tried everything she could to get me to go to church and all that sort of. They bribed me with, because, you know, we had a dish night. You had to wash the dishes. And you don't want to wash dishes for 8 people. I mean, dear Lord, you might as well, you're not getting paid for it. You might as well get a job at a restaurant to get paid for doing that. But so if somebody asked you to do, well, that sounds pretty good, but a prayer meeting, I don't think so. So the only time I decided to go, the main speaker was like, oh, you got to hear this guy, Ed. Come on, come on. I went and he couldn't come, and they got this, the most boring person. The guy barely said words. He said, hello. He was a real humble guy. I want to share my testimony. And I'm thinking, And nobody told me the guy didn't come. They just said, I thought this is the guy. I said, these people are really in trouble. They have lost any sense of proportion. I got to get out of here. So I tried to sneak out, and I twisted my ankle. So I figured, I said, oh, I'm in trouble. God's after me now. But the thing is, there was no condemnation. They didn't try to use condemnation to get me to change. They just started loving. I'm serious. And long story short, I ended up getting saved. My brother gave me a cassette tape to listen to it. The thing I wanted you to see was my mom could have sat in her story. And she just could have been just like a little, you know, those little things where you pull the little, they got like four or five sayings, and you pull the string, and one of four sayings will come out. That's what she could have been like, stuck in her story. Well, I'm just a blah, 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 blah. There's Barbara. She's the divorced lady with eight kids on welfare. But she's grabbed a hold of Jesus. And she started praying. Man, she got a can of red paint, put it on our front doors, on the two side doors. And she said, devil, get out of my house. She said, this is like the when they put the blood on the doorpost in Egypt. Said, we are leaving this depressed place. She didn't leave her house. She's talking about the spiritual thing that was going on. That was grabbing a hold of her kids, putting them on drugs and stuff. And she put that blood on the doorpost, the red paint, thank God. But my friends out, everybody drove by the house. What's all those? Are you guys Nazis or something? There's big crosses on your... I said, I have no idea what that means. my mom's going to these meetings. You don't have to come over here. I'll go over to your house. It was embarrassing. But she did that. And she started walking by faith. And I knew something had happened to her. In church, when God gets a hold of you, he changes the way you talk. He changes the way you think. He gives you a towering triumph of redemption. And he puts it inside your heart that you're going to be led into triumph. Don't get stuck in a story. Don't get stuck in a spot. Don't get stuck in a situation. Jesus is bigger than that situation that you're in. And if you haven't sat there and praised God for 5 hours in a row, you hadn't even started anything yet. Because there's lots of things we can do just through praise. Glory to God. And somebody said, well, that's a lot of hard work. No. Being in sin is a lot of hard work. Being in debt is a lot of hard work. Being behind the eight ball is a lot of hard work. This is not hard work. Glory to God. Because what happens? God inhabits the praises of his people. And the angels of God go to work when you start praising him. Look what that little lady did. What's her name? She's in heaven now. But that little lady that went and tours a war zone areas. What's her name? Come on. You want quarters, don't you? Mother Teresa, there you go. Mother Teresa, could you tell Mother Teresa to stay home and behave herself? There's no way. And you can say whatever you want about some of her theology, but I'll tell you what, that woman believed God. She wouldn't take no for an answer. She'd walk in the middle of a battlefield. I dare you to shoot. I'm a messenger of peace. I'm a messenger of peace. In church, this woman said, if I touch but the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. And she got out of her 12 years. She got out of her 12 years and she started a whole new chapter of living in her heart. And she touched the hem of his garment. And the power of God came all over her, just the same way the power of God's going to come all over you. And you get out of that little story and that little situation, that little grim, faithless tale that's going on in your head, and you go out there and you start writing a new book and you touch the hem of his garment by faith. By claiming whatever God said. God, if you said it in your word, I'm going to believe it. I'm going to stand on it. I'm going to proclaim it. And I'm going to own it as mine from this day forward. And I'm not going to let some little old lady outdo me. Glory be to God. I'm going to get right along with her. Praise the Lord. And she touched the hem of his garment. Jesus said, somebody touched me. Go find her. And she was so full of humility. You know, she's not a braggadocious person. And she just, you know, and the Lord said, hey, daughter, your faith made you whole. Go in peace. Be whole of your plague. And you know, Jesus took care of her, and there was still some left over for Jairus' daughter. Amen. He went and healed her, raised her up. Isn't that right? Hallelujah to Jesus. That means there's enough for all of us. That means if Sister Becky gets something tonight, it's, oh, well, Sister Becky got it. I guess it's all gone. No, there's enough for all of us. Hallelujah. Is it Darren? Darren. There's enough for Darren. Praise the Lord. Welcome, brother. It's good to have you. Hallelujah. You see, God has something for everybody. Amen. I have my portion. Sherry has her portion. And we all put our portions together. And guess what? I get excited every time I see Mary. You know, Mary almost faded away. We didn't know where Mary was going to be. She had grown so weak. But you know what? She still held on to Jesus. Still held on to her songs, her faith. Glory be to God. And she's getting stronger every single day. Glory be to God. The devil can't have her. In the name of Jesus. And the miracles that God wants to do for us and bring us into a, you know, part of salvation means to be brought to a large place. If you feel like you're all hemmed in and you're just one little spot in this little, in your mind, God's going to enlarge that because he's the enlarger. Hallelujah to Jesus. The Bible said he brought him to a large place. That's what redemption is. God can redeem any situation. Remember, Gideon. God called Gideon and Gideon's hiding. You know, God says, hey, I want you to be a leader. Gideon says, well, you know, I'm in the first class of hiding. You know, I'm going to hiding school. I'm not learning how to lead. I'm learning how to hide. And I found myself a good spot. I'm in the wine press. Ain't nobody going to hide in a wine press because it's too small. He found the smallest place to go. So he's there hiding in a wine press. And God says, hey, mighty man of valor, I'm calling you. I'm putting something on the inside of you that's bigger than you. It's bigger than your story. It's bigger than your... He said, Lord, hey, where are you? I heard of your miracles. Where are they? And he's got this huge vocabulary of doubt. What if? If you're so big, where's your miracles? And I heard about all you're supposed to do, but I can't see anything. And God took that man and brought him to a place called Jehovah Shalom. He brought him to an altar, just like when we took communion tonight. And that old doubter went on that altar. And God received Gideon just the way he was, but he didn't leave him the way he came. And he put something inside of him that made him that mighty man of valor. And he took one step at a time towards the promise of God. And he ended up being the captain of 300 men that turned a whole army away just because they blew a silly trumpet and broke a light and a lantern. Glory be to God. That's all they did. And turned the armies to flight. Well, praise the Lord. All you have to do is lift your hands up in praise and break your lantern and let your light shine. And guess what? The enemies of darkness will flee because they can't stand the light. That's what we have in Christ. Let's stand up together. Let's thank God. Oh, Father, we thank you right now in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord God. We're gonna touch the hem of your garment by faith. Lord, we're going to trust your word. We're going to trust what you say tonight. We're coming out of 12 years, 18 years, 20 years, whatever years it is. Lord, we're coming out of that in the name of Jesus. Israel came out of 400 years of bondage. Lord, there's nothing too hard for you. Nothing too big for you. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah to God. Just reach out in faith right now. Say it out loud. In the name of Jesus. God causes me to triumph. In Christ Jesus. He leads me into triumph. In the name of the Lord. Now just give him some praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory. Come on. Just praise him out loud. Just praise him. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God. Oh, we bless your name, Lord. We bless your name, Jesus. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Thank you, Father. Oh, we honor you, Jesus. We honor you, Lord. Oh, just keep praising him. Just keep praising him. We give you praise, Lord. We give you praise, God. We touch the hem of your garment, Lord. We believe the promise of God. Hallelujah, for towering, triumphant redemption in the name of Jesus. You're our high tower, God. Glory, glory, glory. You're touching our families, God. You're touching our bodies, Lord, right now in the name of Jesus.